This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
Can you hear this?
I'm trying to record today's episode. And Battle is yelling from the rooftops, "I'm here, I'm here." Battle, please don't do that. Mommy has to record an episode of Trick Talks. Okay, and today's episode, we're reading from my book, The Trickster Diaries. And we're starting with, "Please, not a wig. I did not want to wear a wig. Shortly after I began to pull out the hair from my scalp, my mom sat down at the family computer and looked up children's wigs. I could not believe it. Yes, I was pulling the hair out of my head. Yes, it was becoming noticeable. Yes, there was no sign that I would stop. But a wig? To me, a wig signified failure because wearing a wig meant that I had no hair at all, that I couldn't hide what I was doing any longer. Not that I was doing a good job with that anyway. But to my 12-year-old mind, eyebrows and eyelashes were nothing in comparison to completely pulling out the hair on my head. That was extreme. Had it really come to this? My first thought was, oh my God, this is bad. My second thought was, how am I going to go to school like this? I was already dealing with my classmates staring at me and asking me questions. I could not fathom giving them one more thing to talk about. Truthfully, my greatest concern was that someone would pull the wig off, and I know for a fact, if I wore a wig to school, someone would have. I believe the fear of having my wig pulled off at school temporarily scared me enough to regain a bit of control over my hair pulling. I'm not saying the urges stopped. They didn't. In fact, things ultimately got worse, but I never went completely bald, and I never needed a wig. The idea of wearing a wig back then, in the early 2000s, was really scary for me because I wanted to appear like a normal child. I already wasn't appearing normal, and I knew that. I thought somebody would pull my wig off, and I know that that would have happened. I think now there are so many different hair pieces and types of wigs and hair treatments where you could have something, you know, a wig literally stuck to your scalp that cannot be moved at all. There are many, many different tools for us now that weren't available back then. And so if I did need a wig at this time, say I was a child at this time, I would feel more comfortable using that option. Back then I was not. I do remember being really scared that I would pull all of my hair out. I think that fear in a way did help my pulling, but that's probably just because I pulled more from my eyelashes and eyebrows, like probably never gave them even a second to fully grow back in because I was continuing to pull there. But I did only have the front bald spot right above my forehead, and I did not need a wig. I have never needed a wig for my trichotillomania ever since then. I have used other hair tools to help myself out, but a full wig has never been something I've had to use. I feel very grateful that that hasn't been the case, but I do know that if I ever did need it, that there are options for me in ways that will make me feel very comfortable and beautiful. And I think that for anyone who is out there wearing a wig right now, it's amazing. I'm very happy for you. This is an option for many people to make them feel confident and beautiful in their skin. And that's always what I want for everybody in the community, is to feel like the most comfortable and beautiful version of themselves, whatever that looks like, whatever you need to do. And at the time when I was young, I didn't have that sense of beauty. I thought I was very ugly. The self-talk was horrible, of course, as we know. And these tools that I had, not the best, but they didn't really help. I mean, they helped me look more normal in my own eyes, but they didn't make me feel beautiful. And I just know that there are options now that can make you feel beautiful. And so I'm happy for anybody in the community who is utilizing these tools and feeling more comfortable in their own skin. Angel coins. Growing up, my mom called me Angel. During this time, Gretchen and my mom came up with an idea to help me stop pulling that included angels. I believe this was to make it even more special for me, as well as something I could buy into. The idea they had was that my mom would give me an angel coin every day that I didn't pull. The angel coins were small silver coins with an angel imprinted on them. They were beautiful and kept in a purple velvet bag. I really loved them and definitely wanted some. If I collected a certain amount of coins, I would get some sort of gift. This was great. There was one big problem with angel coins, though. I had to be monitored as much as possible. It was very clear at the time that I was pulling a lot and that it was getting out of hand. In order to combat this, my mom decided she would spend a lot of time around me. She would even sleep with me in my bed at night to make sure I wasn't pulling. It was extremely caring and thoughtful of my mom to do that, but I hated it. As you can imagine, I wanted some personal space, and even though I knew it was wrong, I still wanted to pull my hair out. It was a few days or maybe a week after the angel coins started when they stopped. I was no longer receiving them. I was finding ways to pull out my hair no matter what my mom tried or where she was in proximity to me. I couldn't stop. The angel coins weren't working. It was time to try something new. Angel. You call me an angel, but is that what I am? As I look down at the hair in the palm of my hand. Do angels do this? Angel has to be my, I don't know, it has to be one of my favorites, if not my favorite poem in this entire book. I just love, I really love the way that you can kind of see into my mind here, the questioning that's happening, the reality of the situation versus what I'm told. I'm told that I'm this angel. I've always been called angel. And yet I'm doing this behavior. And I'm like, angel, do angels do this? Like, I'm like questioning, am I bad now? Am I the opposite of the angel? Am I a devil? This thing is taking over me. I can't stop. And what is that? How does that impact my angel status, right? Because that meant a lot to me to be called an angel. Like, I really loved that. I think a lot of people, whether you have trichotillomania or not, you can relate to this feeling of, I'm doing this thing. And, like, is it making me a bad person now? Am I not an angel anymore? Fake glasses. Shortly after the angel coin stopped working, my mom came up with another way to help me stop pulling. This time, she focused on my eyelashes. What better way to remind oneself not to pull than to be physically blocked from doing so? Yes, something to block my hands from my eyes. What could that be? I'll tell you. Glasses. My mom took me to get my first ever pair of glasses, with no prescription because I didn't actually need glasses at the time. I needed them for a different reason. One might wonder why my mom decided to buy me fake glasses, and here is your answer. She believed the glasses would block my hand from reaching my eyelashes. When I would hit the glasses with my hand, I would be reminded to stop pulling out my eyelashes. It was a genius idea, and I could not wait to get a pair. My mom took me to Macy's, where I tried on so many different pairs of glasses. I finally decided on a blue pair. They were adorable. I thought that I looked really pretty in them too. I hoped that they were going to help. I was eager to try anything that could help me stop pulling. When I first arrived at school with my new glasses, I was met with a wave of questioning. Why do you have glasses? Do you even need glasses? Are those fake glasses? Why are you wearing glasses now? I had a feeling this would happen, so my mom and I practiced some responses on the way home from Macy's the night before. I thought they looked nice. I always wanted glasses. My mom said I looked really nice in them, so we bought them. Those responses appeased most of the questioning classmates, but not all. Some continued to heckle me, but after a few months, everyone was used to my new accessory. Even with a lens popped out. I was extremely invested in trying things that would help me lessen my urges to pull. So much so that I made some questionable decisions in the name of finding a cure. I also think I was in denial. One of the most bizarre things I've done was continue to wear my glasses with a lens popped out. At this point, I was still pulling on my eyelashes even with the glasses on. I would simply take them off or move them to pull out my eyelashes. I couldn't help it. But I continued to wear my glasses anyway, one lens and all. I didn't want to admit to myself that they weren't helping when I wanted them to work so badly. Once again, I was faced with the reality of the situation. I wasn't able to control myself. I have a vivid memory of being in gym class. My peers and I are running around the gym playing sharks and minnows, a game where one person stands in the middle of the gym, the shark, and everyone else runs by them without getting tagged, the minnows. Once you are tagged by the shark, you also become a shark. It's a fun game. I am standing on one end of the gym, getting ready to run past the shark, when one of my classmates looks at me with a puzzled expression on his face. "What?" I ask. And to my surprise, he laughs and says, "You're missing a part of your glasses." I just shrugged, because I already knew I was. Distracting in a different way. The glasses were a great distraction, but in a different way than my mom and I originally thought. The initial plan was for wearing glasses to distract me from pulling, which clearly didn't work. What did end up working for me was feeling that people were distracted by the glasses. What I mean is that I felt people couldn't see my lashless eyelids as clearly as they could when I wasn't wearing glasses. The focus wasn't on my eyes anymore because there was a physical barrier. The glasses became a way to comfort myself, almost how a child takes to a blanket or a stuffed animal. I felt like I could hide behind the glasses and not be viewed as different or a freak. I could breathe a little easier because I knew when people looked at me, they wouldn't see bald eyelids first. Instead, they would see a regular girl with glasses, even though on some days, they would see a regular girl with glasses missing a lens. It's the little things. My era of glasses, although short-lived in the scheme of things, was really impactful. I have a lot of memories in those glasses. I remember driving in the car to get them for the first time. I remember trying them on and thinking, wow, these are kind of cute. It was like a silvery blue. They were rectangular. They had a kind of a different shape, like the right by my nose was a little bit shorter, and then they would like go out almost like a trapezoid or like an irregular quadrilateral. What am I talking about? But you know what I'm saying. It was cool. They were pretty funky. They were funky. And I think what I talk about here and what I remember feeling is that, wow, people are noticing the glasses. They're not noticing that I'm wearing them because I'm missing my eyelashes. They're not even noticing that part. They're saying, what are these glasses doing? And it really did feel cool. I felt like, at that age, other classmates of mine were experimenting with contacts. And so some of the people that we were used to seeing with glasses would come in without glasses, and people are questioning them. Hey, what happened? Like, your face looks naked, blah, blah. You know how kids are. And so for me to have a similar experience to my classmates felt good. I'm still getting questioned. Annoying, but annoying in a way that I can deal with. Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. I could deal with that. I could feel comfortable with knowing that, hey, they're just asking about my glasses, and I could make up little stories about them, or I could say, yeah, I just thought they were cute, instead of saying, where are your eyelashes? And I am, struck silent. I didn't have a great way of explaining what I was doing. Even if I could explain, exactly what was happening to me at the time, I felt like nobody would understand. And so the glasses era was very, very fun. Eventually, I stopped wearing them, but what's funny is that was the only time I had worn fake glasses to help my trichotillomania. When I was teaching, I actually needed my first pair of prescription glasses. I believe I was like 27. No, I had to be like 29. Yeah, I think I was maybe 29 or 30. I noticed that I couldn't see the anchor charts in the back of my classroom. And so I asked one of my coworkers, I was like, "Hey, can I try on your glasses for a second?" And when I tried them on, I could see my anchor charts clearly, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I actually need glasses." Like, this is the first time ever. The only time I had worn glasses before was for my trichotillomania. So it was interesting for me personally to go from wearing them as a physical barrier, as a distraction for people, to now I actually need them. And this is something that I will wear. You don't see me in glasses. I don't wear them anymore. I don't need them for everyday use. It was just for small words in the back of my classroom. But what is very interesting to me is that when I started to wear those glasses, now this is just the timing of it all, I had about a 10-year gap of not pulling out my eyelashes completely bald. I get the glasses. That's the same time around the pandemic, and oh my gosh, the eyelashes are gone. So it's kind of, I don't know what the word would be, that once again, when I am wearing glasses, I'm missing eyelashes again. Ghost. Sometimes I wish that I was a ghost. I could float right by you. Oh, how I hoped. If you couldn't see me, there'd be nothing to hide. I could walk around peacefully without hearing you snide. I could do what I wanted. I'd dance and I'd cheer. Because you couldn't see me, I could live without fear. Hiding behind a headband. When the bald spot that began at the top of my forehead seemed to be getting worse, my mom, once again, sprang into action. Her daughter wasn't going to stop pulling, so what could be done about this large bald spot? Let's cover it up. One day, my mom came home with about 100 different headbands. I wish I was exaggerating. They ranged in thickness, color, and texture. It was overwhelming in the best way possible. I could wear a headband and completely cover my bald spot. Yay! Wearing headbands to school was a normal thing to do. It seemed like every girl at some point in the week wore a headband. I wasn't going to stand out. I was going to blend in. Even bigger yay. Unfortunately, moments of happiness like that don't last long. In social studies, a classmate of mine yelled across the room, "Ew, Barbara, you wore that headband in PE when you were sweating. I should rip it off." Everyone looked at me, and of course, my face turned beet red. I was humiliated and scared he actually would rip off my headband and expose my bald spot. Thankfully, he didn't. What he did instead was instill a seemingly necessary sense of paranoia. I was now on high alert, wondering if someone would actually pull off my headband and expose my bald spot. I would constantly go to the bathroom to make sure my headband didn't slip. I also began to push bobby pins on the sides in order to have the headband remain in its place. I was unaware at first that my classmates even noticed my headbands. Every girl seemed to wear one at some point. Before his comment, I thought I could relax behind them. After his comment, I realized I couldn't. That little you know what. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now. That boy, I won't name his name, but that boy was a notorious meanie. He was not nice, complete jerk. He was one of those kids that I'm not even gonna like try to go into his mind. You know how you can like, oh, they're little kids, like, you know, they weren't meaning to be e no. He was just a little rotten apple. I'll tell you right now, rotten, rotten. But he was one of those kids where you were like, please don't have him look at me. He's gonna say some nasty stuff. He didn't stay at our school very long. He had been there from my whole, like, he was there my whole time. So I went to the same school from first grade to 12th grade. So I grew up with these kids. And he left, I think he left even before middle school ended. And we were all like, thank the Lord. Like, we all took a collective deep breath, woo, a big sigh, because this was not a nice kid. I don't know. Ugh. So anyway, yeah, he did instill that sense of paranoia. And you know, if it wasn't him, it might have been somebody else. But he had to be the one. That nasty little boy. But you hear me talk about feeling normal and feeling like, oh, other girls are doing this. Oh, other people are doing this. And I'll keep that thought for later. I'm circling back to that. Overthinking. I can't stop thinking. Is my bald spot showing? I can't stop thinking. I don't want them knowing. I can't stop thinking. They'll talk and they'll stare. Hey, she doesn't have hair under there. Mommy mullet. Having to wear headbands every day to school grew tiring. Even though I had a ton of different colors and designs, I didn't want to wear them anymore. I wanted something different. Growing up, everyone told me I looked identical to my mom. My mom had dark brown hair with bangs. I had dark brown hair with a bald spot. I looked at her one evening and said, "I want my hair to look like yours." I thought if she looks beautiful with her bangs and we look alike, that means I will look beautiful with my bangs too. She happily agreed and cut my bangs that night. When I looked in the mirror after my hair was cut, I felt one thing: relief. The bangs my mom cut completely covered my bald spot. I was thrilled I no longer had to wear headbands to school. I could wear my hair down like a normal girl and forget about the bald spot altogether. My hair would grow back in peace, hopefully. The response I received from my classmates was that I looked like I had a mullet. I honestly felt as though I couldn't catch a break. When I wore headbands every day, I was made fun of. Now I had bangs and was being made fun of. What could I do? How could I make the right choice? What even was the right choice? I became focused on seeing whether other girls had bangs. To my disappointment, no one in the sixth grade did. It was only when we had an entire middle school assembly that I noticed two other girls with bangs. Two! Out of all of the sixth and seventh and eighth grade girls! I wondered if people said they had mullets too. I never asked. I continued going to school that year, feeling insecure, self-conscious, misunderstood, and ugly. I can't win. Sometimes I feel like I can't catch a break. No matter what I choose, it's always a mistake. I think it will work. I will finally fit in. But too bad for me, I can never ever win. I wish these little kids had left me alone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no, I'm just no, I'm so serious though. Like, I really did feel that, and I'm sure other people in my grade felt the same way. It's me. So it's my experience. Of course, I'm gonna take it to heart and get very offended and upset and feel insecure, and I'm battling this disorder and I'm having a hard time. I'm not doing well in my eyes. And then I'm like, I can't even go to school. Like, you guys are making me sick. Like, I like I mentioned earlier, I wanted to come back to the point where you hear me say, like, normal, regular. I'm looking around at my classmates. I'm looking around at other grades. I'm looking at these girls and I'm like, I want to just blend in. Jeez, can I try? The glasses, okay, they were pretty good. The headbands, okay, they're pretty good until that boy. The bangs, boom, epic fail. And I mean, I'm trying all these things to try to be normal. That's all I wanted to be, was like this blend in normal girl. I wanted to look around and just blend in. I don't want any attention. I don't want to be looked at. I just want to just pretend like I'm not here, like in the poem Ghost. I just want to not be around here. And Ghost is, I had Angel, of course. Do angels do this? Now I have Ghost, where it's like I'm literally like this little kid. And I'm like, I wish nobody could see me. Like, give me the invisibility cloak. I wish I was a ghost. Like, I am so tired of being looked at and questioned and had comments thrown at me. And it's just like, if I was invisible, I could just exist. And that's all I desperately wanted. I know middle school is a very tough age. And guess what? We have more chapters about middle school, baby. So you're gonna have to tune into the next episode. But for many people, it's a rough few years to be in middle school. And especially for us in the BFRB community, it's tough. And so, all of the people that are listening now, if you and I were in middle school at the same time, gosh, I would have been so happy. I would have been so excited I needed you. I don't care if we're at different ages right now, if we could somehow all have transported back to this middle school time and we could have all had each other. I mean, how different would life have been for us to have each other? But I'm happy we have each other now. And thanks for listening. There's more to come. See you next time.